units assigned to the scene. That's in the southbound lane. And outside of that, looks like everything's moving along pretty well in and throughout the Monterey Bay area. For your 7-day forecast, it's currently 52 degrees at the KSCO station. Quite windy out there this evening. Just to give you a heads up, lows into the 40s for the next 6 to 7 days. Sunny skies, highs in the 60s, mostly clear at night, lows into the 40s. For you boaters, small craft advisory in effect until 3 a.m. this morning. Again, a small craft advisory, until Wednesday. A small craft advisory in effect until 3 a.m. Wednesday. And again, we have gusts up to 35 knots. Again, gusts up to 35 knots. And with that said, it's time for Wake the Bear. Hope you enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers. All right, another good night. I am so excited for tonight. We're going to have a special guest, but before we do that, I just wanted to jump in and see what we've been doing for the news or what has been happening. And we also have Brandon, who is not on campus today. And so, Brandon... Welcome, Brandon. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Woohoo!
Awesome. Woo! Okay. Well, we got the trio there. And Chris, what? Anything going on?
Oh, come on. Is there anything going on? Are you kidding me? Did you not watch the Super Bowl this weekend?
I did. Actually, I went to Convergence Church. They had a Super Bowl big screen, and then they had a concert after with Seventh Day Slumber. And so I did go and see the game. I don't normally follow football, but it was fun with a room full of people just having a good time and fellowship.
Well, I hate to say this as an old 49er fan, but I was actually rooting for the Rams. Can you believe it?
Oh, wow. Yes.
And what I thought was very funny, if you're into prophetic and politics, that the Rams beat the Bengals 23-20 and Donald tackled Joe.
Sacked him, didn't he?
Sacked him. Aaron Donald rushed Cincinnati quarterback Joe Burrow, and that was really one of the winning parts of the game. So it was very hilarious.
Oh, wow. Isn't that funny? That is funny.
The ram is a symbol of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world versus the year of the tiger, which is the CCP.
That's it.
Yeah. How appropriate there. How appropriate. Wow. Well, hey, tonight we have a special guest, and I can't wait to hear from him. His name is Jacob, and he's with Guardians of Youth. And I'm just going to jump right in and give him as much opportunity to speak. So, Jacob, welcome aboard. Just wanted to learn more about what you're doing, and feel free to tell us your story.
Yeah, thanks for having me in on the show, guys. I really appreciate it. We have a small local movement here in Santa Cruz called Guardians of Youth. Some of your listeners might have heard of it. We've got some pretty good support going on. We've grown pretty rapidly on Telegram and Instagram. My wife actually runs the Instagram, and she's got just a really good voice on there and puts out, thought-provoking memes. And then we put out our videos that we do of different protests and rallies and, original content. And we're really working. Our main goal is to fight for the children to not have to vaccinate against their choice, not have to wear masks against their choice. And that's kind of what we're dedicated to doing. I mean, we most of us don't want to do it for ourselves, being adults and all, but I think this whole thing got started with Guardians once Newsom put out the word that he was going to require, mandates for children. And they said that once the FDA approved that, they're going to start vaccinating children, 12 and under. And that really woke a lot of people up. So Originally, a call was put out by just like some local moms that we're all friends with. And I think it was going to be a small thing in the park. And it ended up being, I don't know, like 300 people that all came together.
Wow.
In Scotts Valley in the park.
That's fabulous.
And there was no real, I mean, it was more of just like a meeting. And I actually didn't go to the very first one. My wife did. And it seemed that she was telling me about it and said, hey, there's this mom thing I'm going to. It's just, you know, some moms that are fed up with this and we need to start, you know, kind of taking some action and fighting back. And then from there, kind of a plan had to be put in place. And so my office is downtown in Santa Cruz, and I've got a pretty big office building for my business that I run. And my wife kind of offered up to the group and said, hey, you know, my husband will open up his office to host, you know, the next meeting and kind of get a core group going, something where we could all get together and strategize. And so that's what we did. I think that it was the next week or something like that. Everybody met at my downtown office, and we all kind of started figuring out ways that we could, you know, fight back against this, how we can stand up and make our voices heard and let people know that, you know, this is unacceptable what they're trying to do to our children in Santa Cruz and California.
So Guardians of Youth has not been going on very long. It's a fairly new gathering of individuals who are under one banner, one message of we're going to stand up for the kids of our community. Is it local? Is it just local, or does it go beyond Santa Cruz?
It is local. It was, you know, born right out of here in Santa Cruz. And I think it's been about maybe 5 months or something now.
Wow.
That we've been doing it.
Mm.
But yeah, we worked with Children's Health Defense on a big protest up in San Francisco that went really well, where we all met at the Golden Gate Bridge. And, you know, that hit national news.
Yeah, Brandon and I were there.
Oh, you were there?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I remember Brandon. I was filming with him out there. But that's great you guys were all there, so you know.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I follow you guys on Telegram, and I mean, it's very active.
It really is.
It's awesome because I get a lot of news that's even semi-related to it. I mean, you get a good dose of news.
Yeah.
Real news.
And a helpful community, too. You know, sometimes I'll throw up something in there saying, you know, hey, does anybody know if medical exemptions are accepted at, you know, our kids go to Twin Lakes Christian School, and I wanted to find out if they will accept medical exemptions for vaccines, and people said, yes, they do, actually. You know, good luck finding it with doctors, because they can get suspended and all this other stuff. And then other people private messaged me, and they said, hey, this doctor will work with you. I think we got like 4 different pediatricians and doctors that will work with us for medical exemption.
Well, awesome.
Yeah, because we don't want to jab our kids. And it's kind of funny, too, because I never was an anti-vaxxer or anything like that. I don't consider myself that. But through all of this, it just put a lot of skepticism in me where, you know, I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and our 5-year-old he's up to date on his vaccines, but now they require so many more. And so when you look at the amount of vaccines that he has to get just to go from preschool to kindergarten, I'm just like, this is getting ridiculous at this point. And I trust science that, yes, they knocked out polio and they've taken out, you know, different viruses and illnesses. That's great and all. And I believe in that. But I can't help but be skeptical at this point with the agenda that they're pushing down our throat with untested, you know, there's no long-term testing in these COVID vaccines. It's just a fact. And it's proven to have horrific side effects. I have friends that have horrific side effects. I can show you the videos of them. It's bad. So it's just not safe.
So you're talking about vaccine injuries from current COVID jab?
Yes.
Specifically?
Yes. And I've seen it. My brother works in the local hospital, and he sees the real truth that goes on. I can't speak too much to that, but, you know, I get to see a lot of the inside stuff, and it's just like, this stuff is bad. It's really bad. The truth is there, and they don't let it out.
There was a local doctor on, 2 weeks ago that was, I think, on Elephant in the Room, and that person said that they had more people with the vaccine in for COVID than didn't have it a lot.
That's 100% true.
Yeah, and so that was the doctor. I can't remember the name, but yeah.
It's, by a factor of like 4 to 1.
Yeah, that's all I'm reading now. It's really hurting people's natural immunities. It's taking it down.
And here's the thing that would make anybody super skeptical is what they're doing with that data. they take that data and they only consider you vaccinated if you're boosted. So let's say that let's say the numbers say that you have 4 unvaccinated and you have let's say 16 vaccinated and 5 boosted. Well, they take all 16 and they put them into the unvaccinated camp. So when the reports come out, that month report has 20 unvaccinated and 5 vaccinated. Because
why?
They only consider boosted as vaccinated,
right,
as a way to skew the numbers. I don't understand how that doesn't wake everybody up that's with that has the knowledge of that. I don't know if maybe not everybody in the hospitals have that knowledge, but when you see the reports, and you, like, how can you say that this is on the level? That's such a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whistleblowers are worried about losing their job, so they're not saying anything.
Oh, of course, right, yeah. I mean, I'm worried about losing... I mean, everyone's worried about losing their job, but no matter what you do, but at some point... I don't know. That's probably what we're going to talk about tonight. At some point, you know, there has to be this tipping point where you stand up and say, okay, you know, enough's enough. The truth has to come out.
Yeah, I believe there is momentum gaining. I mean, it's building. You're starting to see it. You're starting to see new strategies come out. You know, I wanted to actually play one particular strategy just to kind of kick the show off with, and then off of that we get springboard. So let me play this one. It's with Red, White, and Blueprint. Let me play that. Let's see if this goes on.
That's a great name. It's a recording from Shasta
yes.
County, and how they're pushing
that is
back.
Our duty. Good morning, Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti. In a few minutes, you will be served an official notice of intent to be recalled. This recall is a course correction for Shasta County. It is not a witch hunt. It is a necessary performance appraisal. As leadership in this county during 2020, your position has been critically assessed, and you are being held accountable by us, the citizens. The reason for a recall is as follows. First, a betrayal of public trust. These supervisors didn't defend our county from state government overreach. They bowed to Governor Newsom, a known corrupt, lawless politician, for county funding. They then used that CARES funding, over $18 million, for county programs over businesses by 6-1. Indebting us to the state indefinitely for these new programs. As recently as last month, Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti failed a motion to terminate our local state of emergency. For over 1 year, they have failed to assert local control. Second, a need for fundamental change. For too long, our supervisors have operated without critical oversight by its citizens. Our board has been irresponsible with taxpayer money, directing it to be used in inefficient county programs like administration. These supervisors have not held Dr. Karen Ramstrom and Director Don L. Ewert accountable for mismanagement during this pandemic, including their oversight of a bloated HHS department of over $200 million, making up over 50% of the entire county budget. Third, this is a last resort. We cannot afford to wait to elect new representation. We cannot risk another round of shutdowns, business closures, and school closures. We must have supervisors that will actively protect our county from state overreach, that will secure our rights to operate our businesses, schools, and churches as we see fit, and that will be proactive and innovative in their approach to return government to its smaller, proper role in this county. This is not personal. This is responsible citizenship. These supervisors have performed poorly at reflecting the will of the residents of Shasta County. Therefore, a recall has become necessary to determine which supervisors continue to enjoy the support of their community and which ones need to be replaced. It's time to restore reasonable, representative, and accountable government in Shasta County for ourselves and our future generations. All in favor of a recall, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right.
Wow. She laid out some blueprints, didn't she?
Definitely did, you know, and it took a group. It wasn't just one lady, you know. It was a group that did research. She had a lot of stats, statistics there, and she was reading them off to them. And she knew names, and she was, you know, she was taking names, actually. So to me, that was a group effort. And I'm wondering if that's something that the Guardians are kind of doing. From what I see with the, you know, the Telegram, they're organized and they're each person has a little bit to do and contribute. So tell us a little bit about what's happening local. That's Shasta.
Right. Yeah, that's we're definitely aspiring to make change. We have some goals and some things that drive us. One of the things that drive me in this is being kind of a support system also, right? And I'll get into the goals that we have. But first and foremost, what encourages me is when I see other people standing up for what's right. And, you know, they say courage is contagious, right? As soon as you start to see your peers and people that you know in the community standing up and have the same beliefs that you, it will prompt other people to do the same. And so people need that right now. So Guardians is kind of there for the parents and just community members to see that there's a group out there that they can not feel like they're alone on an island, right? Because, you know, we've all gone through, you know, school, having our kids masked up and Zoom and all this stuff. People are fed up with it. And to see that there's that group out there that they can kind of latch onto and have community with is such an important thing for us. So that's one of the things that I love about Guardians of Youth, is that we are there for the community, just to be that support system and to encourage, you know, each other. Like I said, I threw out some questions I had and I got instant feedback on it and I could take the next step. So that's one of the great things about what we're doing, is to be that support system. And second, it is to, you know, be active in the community and take actions to fight this. I'm sure you've seen on the Telegram, or if you follow our Instagram, or just seen us out there, but we are out there protesting and we're the ones holding up the signs. We did a big protest at the clock tower, I think back in November, that went really well. Yeah. And we had, I'd say about 150 to 200 people out in front of the clock tower. And then we marched down to Water Street, and that went really well. Total peaceful protest. We got our word out there. We had a lot of support, a lot of honks, a lot of, you know, firefighters and ambulances and just government people driving around that were really excited to see us, and they wanted to support and they were honking. So it was good for the community to see that, hey, you're not alone in this, right?
Yeah, that was one of your first public appearances and gatherings, wasn't it? And
that was our very first one.
It was very strategic. I mean, you picked the center of town, you picked the busy intersection, and you picked a great time of day.
Yeah, and then I'm out there. I don't know if you follow us on Instagram, but I film everything, and then I edit the videos together. And actually, our first one, I'm sorry, was we all met and went to the school board to speak with Farah Sabah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had him come out and speak with us, and we let him know that, you know, there's a lot of parents that are not okay with these mandates that they're putting down on our children. These are our children. And you know, you can do that to adults, but once you start messing with our kids, there's going to be a lot of people standing up. And that was the fire. That was, you know, that's what lit this fire under all of us. And then, yeah, we went downtown, and then, you know, we keep going. I just was with Pastor Brandon out at SLV. We were just out there, you know, holding up our signs, letting, you know, peacefully letting parents know that you're not alone in this. We don't support mask mandates. We support a choice. My take is, if you want to wear a mask, whatever. But don't force our children to wear masks, right?
That's right.
And that's what we had, Brandon, we had the students come up to us and engage with us and talk about it with us. And, you know, one of the things I said to them was, because they were like, well, what's the harm in us wearing a mask? You know, these were, I don't know, they were like 17 years old. And they were like, I don't care if I'm wearing a mask. And I told them, and I think I got through to them a little bit and said, well, yeah, but you're 17, right? Like, you're practically an adult. I've got two kids, 2 and 5, that are forced to wear masks. If you want to be 17 and wear a mask, you know, that's your choice. But do you think it's right to force my 5-year-old in their most critical development stages to have to mask up and lose out on that? You know, to this 17-year-old kid, you didn't have to do that when you were 5 years old. You got to grow up and see faces and interact with people. If you were denied that, mm-hmm. that changes the story big time. So if you want to be 17 and wear a mask, that's your choice. But don't force my kids in the key developmental stages to do that.
You got through them to them too. They really they started listening to you, and they were challenging your some points, but they were listening to you. I was surprised also that the people that drove by, there's a lot of people that didn't honk or do anything, but the honks were like 30 to 1 compared to the flipping us the bird.
Yeah, it was good support. Which I could see in SLV. You know, I think they've got some conservative values up there, and or just people that are maybe a little more libertarian, and they don't want to be, you know, the mountain folk. They don't want to be told what to do. I grew up in the mountains, too. I didn't want to be told what to do, so I can relate. But, yeah, I think what we want to do is, besides just being a support system, is to take that action. And it's going to be one of those things where, you know, it's like the dominoes that you need to get enough people on your side to tip that first domino. And, you know, look at Canada, perfect example, right? So we want to do a similar kind of thing. We don't have big trucks or anything like that. And they've got that strategic advantage because they're basically the lifeblood of the supply chain that they can cut off. You know, we're just a bunch of parents that are making our voices known. But I think here in Santa Cruz, I think we could use a little bit more strategic planning in what we do, because right now we are just going out and we're putting up the protests and we're letting people know that we're here and we want to gather as many people as we can on our side. And I think we are doing that. We're growing rapidly. We're, you know, up to 1,200 on Instagram, very dedicated supporters. They're showing up at the rallies, and we have a plan to kind of push that domino over. And that is to gain more and more parents and let them know that we're here, to get them on our side. And then as our rallies grow, hopefully people will start to see that they don't need to be afraid of, you know, I put up something on my Instagram. It's like, don't be afraid of the labels, right? People will wear a mask and get jabbed for days just to avoid being called an anti-vaxxer or, God forbid, a Trumper, right? Or an anti-masker. It's like so scary to be labeled that. And I just put up something and was like, don't be this person that's scared of the labels. If that's what you believe, you know, don't be afraid of the labels. Just own it. And I think with Guardians, that's what we want to do. We want people to own it and push that domino over so people say, I'm going to join this. This is how I feel. I don't have to be scared of this anymore. The odds are in my favor. You know, now is the time to stand up. And I think the tides are tipping in our favor as this goes on.
It does feel like there's a seasonal change coming, doesn't it? You can feel it in the last 2 weeks, especially the last week. There's been a shift in energy and in people being alert and awake. And even the courage level, I think, of people are going up. And what is it that you believe is the blueprint to defeat the unlawful mandates? Do you have a plan?
I mean, I would like to enact this within our Guardians movement, but I think we have to identify the institutions that an opponent needs to survive. The opponent that we're facing is the government and the mandates that they're slapping down on us, right? And then we need to basically deny them those sources of power. So to do that, you have to recognize what is the power that they have over us to put these mandates on us. Well, they're indoctrinating our children, right? That's one of their sources of power. They are hitting us with constant propaganda. That's one of their sources of power. So we need to recognize those sources of power that they have. We need to see these institutions and say, first you need to recognize it, and then you have to have a plan of attack to, I mean, basically all what we can do is opt out, right? So if they're indoctrinating our children with ideology and things that we don't believe in, whether it's, you know, I could go down that list of things for days, but like let's say like mask mandates and getting your kids vaccinated, and you adamantly believe for good reason that, you know, these are not on the level, they're not doing what they said they would do. You can obviously catch and spread COVID. If anything, it's a therapeutic, which wanes, but you can't tell me that it's saving grandma anymore, right? That's not what it's doing, and they even recognize that and say, well, it's for your protection. Okay, now we're talking about therapeutics. But you don't mandate therapeutics for people. You don't mandate NyQuil for people if you have a cold, right? That's a therapeutic. That's right.
They
that's,
actually go in the opposite direction. They forbid the therapeutics. I mean, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin.
Another thing, right? It's how is that not so suspect? It's a moneymaker. Like right there, how does that not wake people up? But I get it. Not everyone's awake to that, and they haven't seen that yet, right? But for the people who do see that, well, you have to start fighting back, and nonviolent blueprint would be to opt out of those systems. And that could be pulling your kids, and I know not everybody can do this, and I don't want to say that everyone should pull their kids out of public school, because I know that's not an option for everybody. But if you can, and you want to look into homeschool pods or you know, private school, if that works for some people, whatever it is, just say, hey, this doesn't align with my values, so I'm going to opt out, right? we have a GoFundMe for Guardians. It got shut down. They don't think that we're worthy because of our views, so they shut our GoFundMe down, right? Same thing happened to truckers up in Canada. Okay, so we're going to opt out, and we're going to go with Give, mm-hmm. Send, Go,
yeah.
Right? I'm not going to be on, well, my background is digital media, so I have to be on Facebook to some degree. But personally, you know, I'm going to go over to Rumble or Parler, right? I'm going to support content creators that are on Rumble channels as opposed to YouTube, which promotes censorship. So you have to take the power back where you can and say, and people are doing this, it's creating a parallel economy, right? And you have to support that 100%. And if enough people do that, you're taking the power away from the people that are oppressing you. And that's how you do it nonviolently.
Yeah, that's a good example of basically figuring out a parallel economy. During the holidays, we highlighted stores in our area as an alternative to Amazon and to big box companies that were catering where we're used to and conveniently going to. But we know that those are the very tools that are driving the small businesses out. And so we actually went down, surveyed the downtown businesses, and we created a parallel economy idea so people could know, hey, I need to go down there. I need to get off Amazon, get in my car, and actually support the local businesses.
Right.
Yeah. And we're not on YouTube, you know. So we have it on our business card, but we don't. We're on Rumble, Clout Hub, you know.
Right. And that's great. And it's growing all the time. And the more it grows, I mean, I wish Rogan took the deal to move over to Rumble for 100 mil.
Yeah.
But I understand, you know, he's got to stay with Spotify. It's his contract. But, like, as more and more people opt out of these systems, they're going to realize they don't have the power. I mean, it's if we're 100-1 outnumbered from the people, that the elites that are oppressing us, right? We have the power. You just got to tip that domino and let people realize it. And once you do that, we're seeing that in Canada. Right?
Yeah.
People are starting to say, maybe this isn't on the level. I mean, if they're willing to lie blatantly and call these multiracial group of people a bunch of racists because they're protesting vaccines.
Right.
I think a lot of people are waking up to that and being like, oh, well, that's not right. That's not true. Maybe they lied to us about other things.
Yeah, it's like Lynn Wood, right, with Nicholas Sandman. You know, he was the kid with his the Covington kids,
yep.
You know, in Washington.
Yeah.
They got slapped with over $200 million, you know, a fine.
Rightfully so.
Or not a fine, but a lawsuit that they lost, CNN. So we need more of that. I'm just wondering if it's time to start having some lawsuits on these school boards saying, hey, you are ruining our kids. You're really tweaking them.
And I think that's what, I mean, protests and asking is great for rallying support and getting people on your side. But let's be honest, that you can ask all you want. Nothing's going to change no matter how politely or unpolitely you ask, right? Action needs to happen. You got to take action at some point. You need to rally people. You need to get people on your side. So you have to do the protests and you have to do the rallies. But you have to get enough people to actually take action. And I don't know I'm not on the legal side of it as much. Some of the members of our core team at Guardians are lawyers, and they can take those legal actions. And they're really good at organizing that kind of stuff. And we kind of have different roles within our small little group, right? So we do take those actions. And that goes in and gets signatures for legislature, and we got to vote these people out. That's a course of action. But we also have to do the resistance and the boycotts. And you know, it's a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not for boycotts. Well, I am at this point. Because you can't just keep asking. At a certain point, you have to take action. And you have to take, you know, we want to be nonviolent resistance. And that's what's going to move the needle.
Yeah. These are unusual days, and it does require some creative alternatives and unusual actions. So it's not going to be business as usual and same old, same old. So I love what you're doing, and even the idea that accountability, it's time for accountability. I liked what the Shasta crew said on the video, that this is an appraisal, performance appraisal. It's accountability. It's not a witch hunt. because you're not reflecting what it is that this county actually wants. So you can't just unilaterally decide as a government body what's going to happen without the input from the people. So the things that Guardian's putting in place sounds like they're going to have some good effects. Have you seen any movement at all? I know you're looking for that first domino.
Yeah, we're definitely looking for that first domino.
That's a difficult question, isn't it? I mean, what does movement look like other than waking people up?
The powers that be are still in power, so I think I'll see movement when that changes. But the sentiment has changed, right? And a lot of people are reaching out to us. We're growing very fast. So I can definitely say I've seen movement in the amount of community members that have, I mean, we get messages every day on the Instagram and Telegram saying they're so thankful to see this group is in action. And it just, you know, gives them such comfort. I mean, right now, that's the movement that we're seeing, right? And we're growing. So that's the movement. I haven't seen the dominoes fall in the leadership change, but, you know, they're going to change the mask mandates. What is it? I think they pushed it back to the 28th or something right there.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be today.
That's what I thought, but I thought it got pushed back. I don't know, but that's movement right there. I'm not saying obviously Guardians did that, but it's got to happen. We're focused on the kids. So once that happens for the kids, when they start saying, okay, you can finally have a choice. Let's start with the masks. That's the movement that I want to see. You know, right now we're growing and we're getting more support, and that's the movement.
And I've been seeing more and more people out there that are actually not wearing masks. I mean, I haven't worn a mask in maybe 2 months. The flight I took down here. And, you know, I think it's people starting to actually speak out and sort of step up. I've seen reports of kids that are no longer wearing their masks when they go to the grocery store. You've got to inspire courage, and courage is inspired, you know. So, and I think you're inspiring courage. I see it, and I have been seeing it. But, you know, I think that there is still like a big, the momentum is growing, but there's that big punch that needs to come through. And I really believe it is coming through. I do believe that the trucker situation is pushing the envelope a lot further for everybody, because there's things that are being posted, like, you know, Justin Trudeau is saying this is a fringe group of people with unacceptable views. And then a couple of days later, he's like, oh my gosh, we need to do a state of emergency, because it's way more people than he was saying. So, I think we're seeing on a global scale, tonight's show is kind of dedicated to the growing global and local resistance to unlawful government overreach. And I think we're seeing that. But it's one of those things where you just got to keep hitting the mallet at the stone, and there's fissures in there, but you don't see them until like that 10th hit, and all of a sudden, boom, the fissures come through, and you see it happen.
Absolutely. Hey, Brandon, we've got a caller, and I'm going to take this caller. It's Terry, and if you want to, your phone is a little bit groggily or crackly, so if you can work on that while we have our caller.
Got it.
Okay, great. Terry, you're on the air.
Well, it's actually Colonel Terry, and I have friends that teach biology and virology at Harvard, and I called them 2 years ago when this first started. And I asked them what they were forecasting from, again, science, knowledge, and 400 years of virology research. And they predicted to me, and they said, Terry, we predict the Moderna vaccination will prove to be the most efficacious. And it has. It has the best performance of protecting people from not getting reinfected or getting initially infected with COVID. And so as a prudent person, and all that that word means, I got the Moderna vaccination. Now, the overwhelming scientific evidence is that this critter does react to vaccination protections. And I saw a statistic from Oxford University that for Western Europe, vaccinations and mask wearing and social distancing had saved at least 3 million people in Europe, and they had the data from Oxford.
Well, that's definitely definitely a view. I have a hard time with all of that, especially with the vaccine. It's an experimental vaccine, mRNA. That's never been done before. It's not been tested. It's not been properly tested. If you look at the trials, they are completely out of control, and they are not scientific. So I don't know who you talk to, but I have a very hard time with this. I mean, you talk about the person who created the mRNA, Dr. Robert Mullen, right? You talk about one of the top cardiologists and biologists. These words. What's his name?
Peter McCullough.
Peter McCullough. I mean, they are going on around the world saying, "Don't take these things." You look at the VAERS. You look at the VAERS. The adverse reactions. I mean, it is off the charts. So I have a hard time saying that. More people with the vaccinations are getting COVID now than those that aren't. It's destroying people's natural immunity. So
they're not dying. No, in fact, the numbers show if they do get COVID, they are more likely to live.
Okay.
And not die from it.
I agree with you there that the intent of those vaccinations were to lessen, not to keep people from getting it. A true vaccination.
Well, that's not what they told us at first. It was
to keep people from
getting it, but that didn't work out with the narrative. So they switched the narrative to say, okay, now it's a therapeutic. So now it's to keep you from dying. It first was, I mean, every news channel out there said, you get the vaccination, you won't get COVID, you won't pass COVID, period.
The president and Fauci both said that, and I have video evidence of them saying that.
So how can people listen to that and not realize that they've been lied to, or at least somewhat duped, and be okay with that? You've been duped, and that's okay. This is a learning experiment, right? You learn, you get the data, you move on, and you take a new plan of action. But doubling, tripling down on the strategy that you can see does not work, that's ludicrous.
Every person who gets COVID because they were not vaccinated or did not social distance or did not wear a mask or went to a Trump rally can spread it to others in a new variant. Every new infection is a possibility of a new form of the sickness.
Then we should see that at the Super Bowl, too. They should have 70,000 people at the Super Bowl that are all coming down with COVID.
Well, there probably will be some if they weren't.
Some, but not 70,000 because the narrative is not what they're telling you. And that's why all those celebrities that are not masked, that's why they're not all getting COVID. I mean, you see that? You see all those celebrities all at the Super Bowl, and then the next day, none of them are masked, none of the elite leaders are masked, and the next day they tell your children to mask up to go to school? Doesn't that ring as hypocrisy?
Well, that may be hypocrisy. It's also imprudent. But the prudent thing is what we know reduces the infections.
But we don't know that. You're getting FDA's and things that they've been lying from the beginning. They're still lying. There's no peer-reviewed evidence to prove that people don't die or don't get sicker. There's no long-term peer-reviewed evidence of that, and they've been giving us fake evidence for a long time.
Yeah, the flu.
Thousands of Americans died from COVID in intensive care units with the lung infections.
Giving them remdesivir, which is proven to kill people.
Yeah, it was taken off out of the trials. It did so poorly. And that's the one that they pushed.
Yeah.
Well, NIH pushed a protocol that was deadly in how to handle it, putting people on respirators. And there's a protocol that was deadly, and the doctors are all coming out and saying it. There's whistleblowers that are saying it. There's nurses that are saying it, that this was a horrendous approach to dealing with this, and it's crushing us, and it's evil.
Yeah, also the adverse effects. We know that for everyone that one person, according to Robert Kennedy and his research through the Children's Health Alliance, isn't it?
Children's Health Defense.
That for every one person that's life-saved from COVID, there are actually five adverse reaction deaths as a result. We know that the myocarditis is there right now. VAERS says that 23,149 deaths as of this week have occurred as a directly from the COVID vaccine. So it has its dangers. It is not beyond risk, and I think the choice needs to remain is people do their research and they check their statistics so that we have some open source information and we're not just looking at what people are wanting to tell us through censorship.
Yeah, and I would say, Terry, if you're still on, it's I'm a firm believer in data-driven. It's a risk versus reward analysis game, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that all the COVID vaccines are bad. I personally don't think they're doing what they're supposed to be doing because that's, you know, they're not. You can still get COVID and catch it and spread it, and we know that now. But, you know, maybe if I was a 75-year-old man with many comorbidities and I've got diabetes and I'm on the obese side, yeah, I think that would change my risk versus reward analysis, right? So then maybe I would look at getting the vaccine. But if I'm a 5-year-old child, completely healthy, statistically zero chance of being affected by COVID, then you just have to do the risk versus reward analysis with that situation. So that's why it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. You can't mandate the same solution across the board. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's never been like that. So why is it like that now? That's not scientifically sound. And that's what we're saying. That's why it needs to be a choice.
But I do want to give Colonel Terry kudos for actually going to professionals and doing research.
Yeah,
I mean, at
Oxford.
Least he's talking to people that have degrees in that and stuff versus just turning on CNN listening.
Oh, 100%.
So I give you kudos for that because I think that's the right thing. More people need to do that. I happen to disagree, but... I think you're doing the right thing doing research. I got to take another caller. Thank you very much, Colonel Terry.
You're welcome.
Okay. And we have another caller. It's James. So, James, let me get you on. James, you're on the air.
Hey, Ron, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well.
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. It's like if the point of the vaccine is immunity, why is not the question... are you immune? I mean, there's 156 international studies that talk about natural immunity being 6 to 13 times better than the vaccine that's afforded by any of the vaccines. Like, if this was really about public safety, the question would be, well, are you immune? Not, have you been vaccinated? It just seems like, you know, anyways, go ahead.
No, that you are 100% right on the money there. I mean, because a natural immunity is going to carry more of the variants or cover more of the variants than a specialized one, you know, a vaccine that was only for one variant and then completely useless or more useless on other variants. So, yeah, I think you're 100% correct on that. They should be. Have you had it before? And test for immunities. I mean, if they really wanted to be scientific. So they're
exactly.
Not doing that.
This is right. If this was really about public health, this is really about not spreading any kind of disease, it'd be about the conversation about immunity. And natural and herd immunity historically has been about you get the illness, you get over it, you've developed antibodies. And that's typically what people talked about prior to COVID when they talked about herd immunity. They didn't talk about everybody getting vaccinated. They talked about people, you know, like other things, the measles or chickenpox or whatever. I mean, that was about, you know, that's what the discussion used to be about when people talked about herd immunity. So, you know, it just seems like people are completely ignoring the validity of natural immunity. And even Israel, probably the most vaccinated country in the world, their research has demonstrated that natural immunity is 6 times to 13 times more effective and powerful than any vaccine. And it just seems like, you know, that it's like if it was really about public health, that would absolutely be part of the, that would be the question. That would be the question. Not have you been vaccinated.
Good
insane.
Point. Good point. Hey, thanks, James, for your call in there. I appreciate it. Good point. Thank you.
All right, man. You take care of yourself. Yeah.
All right.
So we were talking about finding that big domino and that big push through to actually get things moving with Guardians of Youth and getting the blueprints so that they're effectively going forward. So what would people who are listening tonight, how could they get involved with you, and how could they meet up with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the best way to get involved with us is subscribe to our Telegram channel, subscribe to our Instagram channel, go to our website, at which needs to be really built out. It's pretty rudimentary at the moment, but it's www.guardiansofyouth.com. From there, you could sign up for our newsletter. And we send out a newsletter where you could subscribe to different groups of where your interests would be. Some people are really good at the legal side of things. Myself, I'm good at the multimedia side of things. So I film and document everything and, you know, work on the marketing part of Guardians. Some people are adamantly wanting to be involved with the street protests and handing out flyers and, you know, standing on the freeway overpasses, right? Whatever your contribution is, we've created, I think, like 6 or 7 different groups.
Some working groups.
Yeah, that you can subscribe to. And we're putting those all in action. Oh, and there's also, and this, I think this is the main one that most people are subscribing to and they want to be a part of. And it's the homeschool pods, right? People want to get out of the public school system. And so that's the fastest growing group. That's what everybody writes us back, and they subscribe to that. So whatever your interest is and whatever your reason for wanting to be part of Guardians, visit on our Telegram, find us on Instagram, go to our website and sign up. And then we'll give you all the information so you could get involved. And, you know, people are doing that every single day, and this is growing very rapidly. So I would highly suggest jumping in, getting involved. You can stay anonymous. It doesn't matter. But just become a part of it. And, you know, together we're all going to be the change that we're wanting to see for our children.
Do you have a regular meeting time?
We did. We were doing, I think, bi-weekly at my downtown office. Then everybody got busy. You know, we're all parents and everything. So that kind of fell apart. But, you know, we're all always talking, and we're trying to get weekly protests going. We just did Aptos High School. People might have seen us out there, or maybe you yelled at us. I don't know. And then right after that, the next week, we did SLV. The goal... I want to have a plan going forward with Guardians. And just like... you know, a general's not going to march his troops into battle without a strategic plan, right? Well, this is kind of a battle that we're in to get this this overturned and to protect our children. So we want to have a strategic plan. And right now our plan is to work to wake up the masses. So we are doing these weekly rallies at different schools, and we're growing from that every single time. You know, it takes courage. You got to put yourself out there. You can hold a sign over your face. It doesn't matter if that's what you want to do. But just show support. If you feel this way, show support. You've got more people on your side than you would even think. So I want to encourage people to really join up. And we're going to keep doing these rallies until we can get a big enough base behind us. And my eventual goal, and this might be a lofty one, but you've probably seen some of the freeway overpasses when you drive by them at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays, right?
Yeah, yeah. On Morrissey, right? That's one of the bridges.
Yeah, Morrissey. So I think the eventual goal, and this is what we're kind of kicking around, is how powerful would it be to see every single overpass from, you know, the Fishhook all the way down to Park Ave, maybe down to Aptos, you know, State Park Drive or something. Every single one of those, all with banners saying end the mask mandates, you know, fight for your children, stand up against this, peaceful signs, but say that you're not alone in this, right? And if you, and if people driving saw that, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of people that are standing up against this. It's not a fringe group like Trudeau would like to call us, right? We are this community. And we don't accept this. And you don't have to feel alone. And if you saw that, and you saw just hundreds of people all lining that, that would be a powerful...
powerful statement.
It really
sure
would be a powerful statement. So that's the goal. We're trying to go from school to school, and that's our plan of attack. That's our strategy at the moment, to gain enough support. And we're gaining every single rally. We're getting more and more people involved. And then we're just going to, you know, blanket the town. And that's kind of our strategy. And then from there, we want to work on the legal side. We want to go and we want to vote these people out. We want to put the right people who will stand up for our children in place. And that's another strategy that we have. But we got to get the support first, right? We got to go past the 2,000 that we have. We got to get, you know, we got to do what the truckers
critical
are doing.
Mass.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's that domino. You have to tip that domino. And to do that, you have to really grow. And it's a big domino, that first one. And you got to, you know, let people know, you know, courage is contagious. So be courageous. Stand up. There's so many people that feel like this. You just got to get out of your, you know, nervousness of it and stand up and say, this isn't right. I'm standing up for what I do know is right. And we're going to tip this domino together. And we're going to, you know, vote these people out. We're going to change the system. And you can see it. That's what's happening up in Canada. And things are going to change. And this stuff is going to end. And we want to, you know, keep driving towards that.
Yeah, it is. I'm feeling the same thing. Do you remember that old video where they're on a lawn watching a concert and there's just this one guy dancing crazy, you know, like a hippie dance, and people are chuckling and looking at him, and then the second guy comes. And all of a sudden, when the second guy comes in these psychology movies or videos, they're saying that's when the shift just is starting because he got somebody. But then three or four more people go, and all of a sudden more and more. And before you know it, everybody starts to go out and dance on the lawn like that one single guy.
Yeah, it's such a trend.
And I think we're at least the dozens. We got the second one. And we're at dozens, and now people are starting to wake up. I mean, literally every day, there are more and more people waking up.
Yep.
And so when they see these things on the overpass and stuff, they're like, hey, there's not just one guy, there's a bunch.
Yeah, and I think the goal, what people need to know is, like, you know, if you're driving by and you have your beliefs on, you know, maybe you got vaccinated and you don't want to admit that maybe it's not on the level, right? For whatever reason, you said, no, I made the right choice. I don't know if that sign is necessarily going to change your mind, right? But I think we want to speak to the people who have this inkling to say, I don't believe this is right. I don't want to mask my five-year-old anymore. It doesn't seem like it's good for them, for their mental development, right? It's those people that we want to speak to. And then they see that there's a huge number of support. That's who you're going to get on your side. It's not going to be the person, you know, that wears the mask in their car all by themselves alone while driving. You're probably not going to get them on your side, right? And that's okay.
Now, do you have some people in your ranks that were vaccinated that have said, hey, you know, I've kind of learned a lot in the last couple months, and I wish I didn't, and now
I don't ask that question because I think that's just not correct in society when there's HIPAA involved, right? When do we become a society that just asks, hey, what's your vaccine status? Like, what the hell is that? Yeah. When did we become that society? That's just weird. Our next door neighbors did that to us, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, like, I thought maybe they'd offer. Like, no, totally with you.
But even myself, I'm vaccinated against, you know, measles and mumps back in the day, and polio, which I believe in, right? But that doesn't mean I believe in one that's just brand new, where there's no long-term testing, and it has adverse side effects that you can see, and it doesn't stop you from getting and spreading the virus. So with all those things, I think it's okay to question that, right? Yeah. But that doesn't mean I'm an anti-vaxxer against the ones that are scientifically sound and proven.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, I mean, there's many people that are vaccinated. I don't know the status of the COVID vaccine, but I'm sure there are.
Yeah. Well, good. You know, I like the resistance that you're doing. And I think, Brandon, if you're still on, you wanted to talk a little bit about those last three points that Dr. Martin Luther King had talked about. Are you still there?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, much clearer. Nice.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not using the Bluetooth. You know, one of the things that sticks out to me is that it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take endurance. It's going to take perseverance. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did not turn over the laws of the land by just a few rallies. It took a long time. When systemic evil has taken root, it takes a while to get rid of that systemic evil. And, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, we read some of the six principles of nonviolence. I think they're really, really important. I want to read them again real quick, and specifically 3, 4, and 5. Number one, nonviolence is a way of – it's a life of courage for people. To actively focus and be nonviolent and is to resist evil. So Dr. King would say that tyranny is evil, and so those who are acting like tyrants are actually siding with Satan. Number two, active nonviolence is to win friends. And help people understand, which I think, you know, we did that. We're doing that. You know, you and I, Jacob, were out there talking to those two 17-year-olds, and I felt you did a better job than me, but you did a great job of just winding their friendship and getting them to, like, think differently. The end goal is redemption, not punishment. The end goal is reconciliation and agreement and peace and freedom for everybody, not, hey, I won the argument. And then number three is, nonviolence seeks to defeat injustice, not people. And we say this over and over again on Wake the Bear, that people are not our enemy. There's forces of darkness manipulating people, their lust, their greed. Some people have actually received major bribes to enforce a centralized plan of government that is basically taking people who should be representing us locally and getting them to be more focused on the central government of the state. And the central government's, the bribe that they receive from the federal government is actually saying, well, I can't do anything different because I've already received a bribe. So, I see that's going on. And, we want to defeat injustice, but we're not here to defeat people. I love how the video we watched said, this is not personal. We are assessing your job performance and you fail.